If your number eight hitter is hitting 20 points above league average, shut the fuck up with your complaints.
Nothing like ruining your tech confidence on a Friday morning, eh? We're here, everybody. We're a little behind schedule, and that's all right. Adam got his system all up to date and stuff, and then I was trying to do the same on my side. We rebooted our – we were lagging behind on the live stream is what happened on Tuesday, and both of us were like, okay, well
– we got to do something.
We're competent. We could pull this off.
Yeah. I went the full nuclear option. I did a full factory reset and then thought, it won't be that hard for me to re-download all the programs we were using and figure out the settings we had. And do you think I took notes on anything? Of course not. So
yeah, same thing.
Trial and error again.
And then deleted all these files, and then I'm like, wait.
I might have needed that.
Things aren't booting up like they always do for me.
Exactly.
But we are here. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Welcome to The Walk-Off. I'm Scott Belfour, joined, as always, by Adam Mack. So pleased to have The Walk-Off community following along with us. We truly appreciate your patronage, if you will. No guest today on the podcast. Now, it's the first time in a long time that we haven't had a guest. And it's just because we've been kind of rolling with two guests a week here, and we had some rescheduling issues. So nothing following this on our Apple and Spotify and wherever you get your podcast side. So the audio side, there's normally a guest attached. YouTube, you're probably not even going to notice because you probably just are following along as things drop anyway. So that's fine. We did talk to Rob Wong on Monday. And that was an incredibly in-depth and interesting chat about the Blue Jays. So if you want to hear everything Blue Jays and where Mr. Wong thinks they're at right now, of course, he's with 590 The Fan, Sportsnet's radio network in Toronto. That is on our YouTube channel right now. Of course, all of our guests are brought to you by YourRate.ca. Darren Brown, the mortgage broker, going to get you into that mortgage you need, whether you're refinancing or starting from scratch. Darren Brown has got you covered. Everything is paperless and online, yourrate.ca. Now, I did want to tease a couple guests we got coming up next week. We've got Lou Pote, who is the pitching coach for the Okotoks Dogs here in Alberta. He, of course, was an ex-major leaguer, had played for the Rangers, had played for a few teams, so we're excited to sit down and chat with him. We're also talking with Kirby Snead, AAA guy for the Toronto Blue Jays, buddy of Taylor Sesedo, who we talked to recently. Yeah. So we're doing that next week as well. All right, my man. Should we get into this? No, you know what? I'm jumping ahead here. At Walk-Off Podcast on Twitter. Follow along. And we are also giving a jersey away this Monday during the Home Run Derby. We're live streaming. You can still get in on that contest. Go to our Instagram page, The Walk-Off Podcast. Follow along the contest rules. Pretty much we're just getting you to subscribe to our YouTube and tag a couple Blue Jays friends in the comments of the post. All right, now let's get into it. So last night turned into an off day, my man. Rained out in Baltimore, which is too bad. It was Manoa Day, so we were hoping for a series win there. Of course, a rough game one against the O's, but then they slaughtered them in game two, 10-1, and Hyunjin Ryu looked really, really good. But the nice thing with this cancellation yesterday is that now our pitching really lines up sweet against these Tampa Bay Rays. Mm-hmm. So the final three games before the All-Star break, we're going with Manoa today, Stripling on Saturday, tomorrow, and then Sunday is going to be tight pants, Robbie Ray finishing things off there. We're 3.5 games back of the second wild card spot right now, my man.
We've closed the gap recently. We've
closed the gap a little bit. I'm kind of happy with that. Listen, I know that there's a bunch of teams ahead of the Jays. 3.5 back, though, that is not out of this thing.
It's not insurmountable, for sure.
By any means. I mean, the truth is 3.5 games, you can make that up in a good week. Let's be serious, right? Yep. The right teams lose, and you win 6 or 7 in a row, and you're right there. Kind of exciting,
right in the thick of it. I mean, you couldn't really ask for much more.
I think there's no way this team doesn't add.
No, absolutely, we have to be buyers in the next 2 weeks. And I think we already have been. So,
and we already have been, exactly.
If we weren't going to add, I don't know why we would have done what we've done already.
100%. 100%. So we're going to get into the trade rumors, the options out there in a few minutes. We're also going to touch on Shohei Ohtani continues to just be the beast of the year. Let's face it. So we'll get into him and the home run derby. We'll touch on Daniel Carmarena. Just want to make sure I say that.
Good job. I don't even want to say the name.
Yeah, I know. But he was the reliever with the Padres yesterday that hit the big grand slam. So we'll talk that a bit too. Okay, let's start with Ryu. I want to start with Ryu because this is a take that I have that I know some Blue Jay fans are absolutely going to hate this. So Ryu has been struggling, and we knew this, and we kind of deep dived into his struggles last podcast on Friday, And basically what it broke down to is that he just wasn't locating his changeup, and he wasn't locating his cutter. And he was getting ahead in the count, but he just could not finish these guys off. Now, here's some stats of Ryu over June into July here. His strikeout rate was at 11%, which is the lowest in the MLB. He was at 25% in April and May. So that's a pretty significant drop-off.
Yep.
He struck out 7 in his 5 innings against Baltimore and looked right back to where he should be, right around that 25% strikeout rate. Now, everybody is hailing Danny Jansen a hero. I'm going to be honest here. I have nothing against Danny Jansen in this scenario. I still think he should be the backup catcher for this team. In fact, I think we've talked about this before, that make Kirk hit his way onto this lineup, right? Make Kirk get so hot in AAA that they have no options but to be like, okay, well, we need to figure something out with either Reese McGuire or Danny Jansen, right? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of Blue Jays Twitter, a lot of Blue Jays fans feel that Danny Jansen was the turning point for Ryu in this scenario. And he might be. I'm going to say right now, I think Danny Jansen had very little to do with Hinjin Ryu turning the corner here.
You're going like coincidence?
I truly believe it's coincidence. I truly believe that he was on the verge of coming out of it last start. But this is the thing with a guy with a 91-mile-an-hour fastball who relies on steady control is that if he's off a little bit, you get hit.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing when you look at his heat chart of where he was placing his cutters. They went from in April and May, all dotting that inside corner, just beautiful, right? And then all of a sudden, they all moved 6 inches to the middle of the plate. And all of a sudden, if your cutter is cutting right down the center, makes for problems. Now, I'm not saying Danny Jansen had nothing to do with this, and maybe just the comfortability of him behind the plate got Ryu in a headspace that he had to be in. I just don't feel like Danny Jansen... I mean, Hinjin Ryu is Hinjin Ryu. We brought him in as the ace. This is a guy who has done it for almost 10 years. He proves time and time again that he's a good pitcher. I don't know where you fall on this, and maybe I'm not giving dues to Danny where I should be. What are your thoughts, my man?
Well, I know that his struggles, his dip in production, seem to coincide with the crackdown on sticky substances. And that was easy to dismiss as like, well, his spin rate has never been like extremely high. We didn't see really a dip in his spin rate, everything like that. So I don't think he was a sticky substance guy. Maybe he wasn't a spider tack guy, right? But maybe he was using something more than sweat and sunscreen, right? Like,
yeah, maybe it was sunscreen and rosin, which, again, they've really cracked down on those two, yeah.
So even if he wasn't using a sticky substance to get an absurd spin rate, maybe it's just, it was a control thing, right? Maybe he went from something with a little bit of grip where he could just pinpoint to now he's throwing that pool ball. And, you know, like, just when we're talking about, like, it's like you said, it's a difference of, like, The cutter is just missing by 4 inches from where he used to be throwing it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just he was using something, like, on the fringe of legal.
It's crazy that this didn't occur to me, but I think you're dead on, man. That makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
It's not even that he was struggling with not having the sticky stuff. He just had to learn how to throw again without it, right? Yeah. And I think there's a lot of pitchers that are struggling with this. I do not think that Hyunjin Ryu is the exception in this scenario.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I hope that now he's just figured out the control. But, you know, like we said, he's never been a high spin rate guy. I don't think that's it. But,
nope.
You know, control is control. And if you got to learn to grip it differently, then that's going to be a factor.
Well, this is an interesting little tidbit about him, too, is that he was throwing his changeup for something like 10% of the changeups he threw in the strike zone for the second strike. And he wasn't getting the guys swinging at it like he was earlier in the year. But then last game against Baltimore, man, was his changeup working.
Yeah.
And Ryu only threw 5 innings. It wasn't classic Ryu. But he gave up zero, or maybe he gave up one run. I'd need to go back and look at the box.
I think it was one run. Yeah,
I think it was one run. But he was on. Despite the fact of throwing a lot of pitches and not going deep into the game, he was on. And he was getting those strikeouts. And he was placing those
change-ups
where he wanted.
Yeah.
Which definitely is what makes that man sing. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Control and pinpoint control, moving the ball around that strike zone.
So hopefully this game is a sign that he's found it again, whatever that might mean, and that he's back to normal and that this isn't just a blip on the radar and he's back to struggling, right?
And you know what? I really think that this is a great way for him to go into the All-Star break, right? Feeling good about himself. He kind of figured out what he was doing. He's not at the All-Star game this year, which is the first time in a while. So he's going to be able to actually, you know, take these 5 days and just chill out.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryu's a guy, too, that I think is really better on more rest. So he's going to be able to come back after this All-Star break. He'll probably be the guy that they start the Texas series with.
Yep.
Coming out of the All-Star break. I'm excited, man. I think both of us talked about this, that we weren't worried about Ryu, but it is nice to see the ship being righted a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Okay. So there were some interesting rumors that started to float around yesterday with the Blue Jays and the Twins being talked about in trade talks. And there were some surprising names that were mentioned. Obviously, Taylor Rogers, Jose Berrios, Kenta Maeda. Like, these are the names we're expecting the Blue Jays to be attached to with the Twins.
Right.
But the name that came out was Nelson Cruz, 41-year-old, bopper.
Pure hitter.
Man, pure hitter. Professional hitter. Not to use that term all the time, but professional hitter. Like, this is a guy who, even at 41, hits for power. Hits for average, RBI guy. Now, let's be honest, man. This was surprising because this is not really the type of player that this lineup needs.
Okay.
Right? Nelson Cruz doesn't profile as a guy that the Jays would be after. But what caught my attention is that maybe the Jays are in on something here where we're talking a little bit bigger than bolstering this lineup. We're talking about like a blockbuster. Maybe they wind up with Taylor Rogers, the Twins closer. Maybe they wind up with Jose Berrios and Nelson Cruz. And the thing with Cruz, I mean, he's been a one-year guy forever, right? He goes one-year to one-year deal to one-year deal just as kind of hired gun year to year, right?
Absolutely.
Really. And it's been so cool to see. Like, he's been doing this since he was 36 year to year. Like, this is, I think, his fifth or sixth one-year deal in a row. And he always gets his money.
Yeah.
You know, he's always getting that $15, $16 million. I think this year was 12. So I think part of it is just with the Twins being so out of it, what do they need Nelson Cruz for? So if the Jays can get Cruz for literally almost nothing but paying money, and I think the Twins would throw him in a big deal where they're getting prospects and stuff for Berrios and Rogers.
Okay.
If the Jays are prepared to pay $4 million of Cruz's remaining salary type of thing. And maybe they are. My goodness, like this lineup with Nelson Cruz in it, like, dude, what the hell?
So he would just DH, or would he be a bat off the bench?
He would DH, I think.
Okay.
I think that we would see him sitting on the bench more than maybe he is used to.
Not a very good fielder.
You can't use him in the field. He's too old. He's not a viable option in the outfield anymore. He's not a viable option at first base. He's a bat.
Yeah. What do you like? You want that to happen?
I mean...
What are the names that it would cost us? Throw a price tag out to get that.
That's the big thing. What does it cost us? If it's a low-level prospect, if we're giving up a guy like they gave up to get Simber, right? Then so, I'm all
sorry.
For it.
When you say low-level prospect, you're talking about the price increase on Berrios to throw in Nelson Cruz.
Pretty much, right? Okay. So, like, let's say to get Berrios and Rogers, which is what I would – if I'm talking with the Twins, I want both of them.
Okay. Why not?
So, at that case, then we're talking – and it depends on the route the Twins want to go. Maybe the Twins don't want Lourdes or somebody like that. Maybe they're actually in a point where they're like, you know what?
We're looking further down the road, yeah.
Yeah, give us Groshans. Give us some guys in A-ball that look promising. Maybe it's a prospect package. The Twins are in a tight financial situation here, and they do have some really good players on this team, and maybe with the right trade can really go from the rebuild to the retool, right?
Right.
I don't know. It's interesting. I was surprised to hear Nelson Cruz's name attached to the Jays. At the same time, it doesn't surprise me. Shapiro and Atkins are always looking for value where they might come out on top.
I'm not going to be surprised. I know everybody wants us to focus on pitching. I'm really not going to be surprised if we do add another big bat. I know we've talked about it in Texas with Ian Kennedy and Joey Gallo and some sort of a big package. Maybe that's really shooting for the stars, you know, or with the Cubs getting Kimbrel and Bryant. You know, I know both of us are a little cooler on Bryant than maybe most of the fan base is, but Nelson Cruz and Berrios, that's
pretty substantial.
That would be pretty cool.
Especially if they're not paying a pile for it, right? Like, especially if they're managing their assets in a way that this front office just loves to do.
Yeah.
So you did just bring it up. Let's talk Kimbrel and Bryant for a second here. I did have an interesting stat here that I did wish to just go over with everyone. My apologies.
Well, at least you have it ready to roll.
Yeah, right. Here we go.
So, all right. Welcome back.
So Chris Bryant, since May 5th, is hitting .239. With a .317 on base percentage, a .386 slugging, 8.8 walks per nine, 23.9% K rate, 8.8% walk rate, sorry. And then Kevin Biggio, since May 5th, is hitting .264 with a .364 on base percentage and a .438 slugging, and a 13.9 walk rate and a 20.5% K rate.
That was very dense stats, Scott.
It is very dense stats.
Who's
but
better?
What I'm saying is that if we're going to go out and pay big bucks to bring in a rental in Chris Bryant, right? If we're going to pay big prospect capital for a guy with worse numbers than the guy currently playing third base, I don't get it. Now, is Chris Bryant's ceiling higher than Biggio's? Of course it is. I'm not an idiot. But can we guarantee that Bryant's just going to return to his ceiling after cooling off to the level that he has? And I know how hot he was at the top of the season. I know he had probably one of the best Aprils in all of baseball. I'm aware of that. And that is where his ceiling is. Man, I just don't wish to see us give up a Jordan Groshans or a Gabriel Moreno or a Simeon Woods Richardson or something crazy like that to get Kimbrel and Bryant when Bryant very well could just be a move sideways.
It's the same conversation we had a few weeks ago about Kyle Seager with the Mariners. Mm-hmm. Everybody was so horny for Kyle Seager. And then when you really look at it, you go, oh, he's hitting 216 right now. It's the same thing. Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
I don't want to see a lateral move at third and give up any sort of prospect capital. If it's a throw in on top of Kimbrel, like if the main piece is Kimbrel, and I don't know. I mean, I'm the biggest Kevin Biggio fan there is. I don't think he's untouchable.
No.
You know, but I don't think we should be the ones shopping him. If somebody calls about Kevin Biggio, I think we answer that call. But I don't think we should be the ones looking to get rid of him.
Here, by the way, speaking of the Cubs, is a very interesting little caveat. So Ken Rosenthal just wrote an article for The Athletic where he was depicting the Cubs scouting department as depleted and lacking in personnel. And that the Cubs may lack the staff to properly evaluate prospects from other organizations. And nothing screams Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro more than that, right? So maybe they are going to try and go after a Bryant and roll the dice on that if they can give up what they feel
just
they're
hoodwink
taking
them.
The Cubs.
Just
right?
Totally hoodwinked. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, the Cubs know, like, listen, the Cubs aren't idiots. Like, their management system knows that this is, you know, they didn't need Ken Rosenthal to point out that their scouting department is depleted.
Right.
So I'm sure they're very cautious about what's going on right now. But maybe there is a deal there where Atkins can get in and overvalue some of the prospects. Maybe we can get somebody for a Samad Taylor that the Blue Jays are still on the fence on, but his numbers in AA look incredible, right? Going back to Biggio, though, I really feel like this fan base sometimes takes him for granted because he isn't Bo Bichette. Because he isn't Vlad Guerrero, because he isn't Teoscar Hernandez, because he isn't one of those core guys, right, that you're building the team around. But I just want to remind everyone, it is okay to have an average hitter on your team. It is just fine to have an MLB average guy on this roster, especially with the versatility that he brings to this team.
Yeah.
And I know people are tired of seeing him at third base because he does make a lot of errors because he's never played third base before. He is getting better. That's the truth, though. And I don't think that Santiago Espinal has been night and day better than him. He's made mistakes, too. Panic was making mistakes. No, I bring up Espinal. He's still probably the best fielder besides Simeon on this infield.
Think Espinal is the best? I guess. Oof,
yeah,
man, that does not instill confidence. That sentence right there, kind of.
I mean, maybe Vladdy, but Vladdy's playing first, right? Like, he's a picking machine there, and he definitely has to make plays that he shouldn't need to be making because Bichette and Biggio are making him work a little harder than he should, but...
I don't know. I don't know if he's... I don't know if he's better than Bo Bichette.
Yeah,
I mean, Bo Bichette's an error machine, but, like, he plays shortstop. Shortstop... always across the league, across all teams forever, always has higher, like, it's the top spot for errors. So of course he's gonna have more errors than Teoscar Hernandez in right field, right? Like, it's just such a high demand, difficult position.
Mm-hmm. And he is getting better. Bo Bichette, when he doesn't have time to think about it, is great.
Yes.
The errors you see Bichette make is when he needs to go the other way, make a pick, and then plant and throw. And then you can just see the wheels turning in his head. And I mean, by no means does Boba Shed have the yips or anything crazy like that. But you can tell he's overthinking things sometimes because he has made a lot of errors. And he knows his stats. Bichette's not a dummy, right?
Right.
Speaking of Bichette, though, I did want to bring this up. So since June 1st, Bo Bichette has been hitting .346 for his batting average. He's got 5 home runs. He's got 25 RBIs. He's got 27 runs scored. Like, the guy is on fire since June 1st. He's been one of the best players in the MLB, which is why he's an all-star. That's why we get to see him start at the all-star game, I think, now that Correa has all the Astros have been like, I don't want to get booed. Well, I am paraphrasing. I mean, I think what they actually said is, we really need these 5 days rest. It's best for the team or something like that. But we all know they don't want to be booed.
Of course not.
So,
be interesting. Just before we move on from these guys here, while you were discussing that, I was just looking up the league batting average. I know we talked about Kevin Biggio has been hitting, 266 since May 5th?
264.
264. So the league batting average across the entire MLB, all players, all at-bats taken, all hits, everything, is 240.
Right.
So to say Kevin Biggio is an average hitter, not even doing him justice. He's well above average.
Yeah.
Right? Like 264, well above bat. Like, that's a great batting average.
His plate discipline is still great. I know people are crapping on him saying it's not what it was last year. I mean, it wasn't what it was last year when he was injured and playing through it. That's true. Since he's returned from that injury, he's been literally Kevin Biggio that we know and love.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Or maybe not everyone loves, but that we know.
Yeah, you're right, though. Like, everybody craps on him because he's not Bo Bichette. And everybody craps on Bo Bichette because he's not Vladdy. Right? Like, it's just, it's funny how when you have, like, an all-world talent, it just skews everything.
Yes!
Right? Like, people are not happy with Bo Bichette. He's hitting 300 on the season. Like, on his career, he's hitting 300.
Right? Like, this is what people forget is in 2019, Kevin Biggio was, like, the second-best hitter on this team, probably.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's good we've got a lineup that this is this potent that people look at the lineup and they're like, the hole is Biggio. But like, you're not going to have a lineup of Vladdy Guerreros from 1 through 9, which is crazy that we're even close.
Like, yeah, that we're even that for 1 through 6.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, if your number 8 hitter is hitting 20 points above league average, shut the fuck up with your complaints.
Yeah, like, that's the truth, man. And I get so tired on Twitter sometimes of seeing anyone defend Biggio and then everyone piling on and being like, you just love Charlie and this front office and whatever they do and say, you just can't handle, like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, just take a look at the peripheral, okay? Start comparing his numbers to other available third basemen.
Yeah.
Do we need an upgrade at third base? Defensively, for sure. And yeah, if we can do it, absolutely. Like, if you can slot a Joey Gallo in there, heck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
But the truth is that why make a sideways move?
Well, why make a sideways move when, like, this could literally be our lineup next year? Like, if Simeon leaves, right? Mm. And we go out and we sign Carlos Correa and we reunite the Astros there with George Springer. We put Correa at shortstop. We put Bichette over to third. All of a sudden, he's making way less errors, right? Because now he's at third. So we've got Bichette at third, Correa at short, Kevin Biggio at second.
Yeah.
We're going to love that. If we have a second baseman that's a great second, because he's a great second baseman. We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah. He's at least league average to slightly
defensively,
above.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you have a second baseman that's hitting .260 with a on-base percentage of 550?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. It just seems crazy to be like, wow, we got to get rid of him. Like, win now, sure, I guess. But, like, this is also a potentially 10-year window that we have to consider.
And I do want to reiterate that neither Adam or I are saying he's untouchable.
No.
Heck yeah, if someone comes with an offer you can't refuse, you take it.
He's in the same boat as Lourdes, in my opinion. It's just
nobody. The front office is not shopping him, but he's definitely not an untouchable. Yeah. I think the only untouchables on this team are Vladdy and Bo.
Yeah.
You would need a haul for Teo. I can't see them trading Hernandez unless it is insane, and I can't see them doing it at a trade deadline. If you're moving Hernandez in a scenario where it's like in 91 when they traded for Alomar and Carter and they moved Mosby and Barfield, I think it was.
Teo, too, is not quite young.
No, it was Fernandez. Never mind.
Teo's also like in a weird position because he's older and he's closer to free agency. Mm-hmm. I don't know realistically who would be trading for him. Mm-hmm. Like he's a guy that a contending team would want to add, not a rebuilding team. And I don't think contending teams are the teams we're trading with, right?
Like, no, exactly.
Because they don't want to downgrade at any position, and we don't want prospects back.
No.
So he's kind of in the same boat as Randall Grichuk, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, not unfortunately, but I mean, I don't think Grichuk is much of a piece that we can move. We kind of were considering that back in January when we signed Springer of like, well, does this mean Grichuk's on his way out? Is he the odd man out? And it's like, wow, he's got that big contract. He's older.
And I mean, the acquisition of Corey Dickerson does allow for this front office, if an opportunity does arise, to move an outfielder where they are having the doors blown off by their offer. It allows them to take it, right? Yeah. But I don't think without that scenario that the Blue Jays are doing anything with the outfield other than maybe sitting more guys, you know, other than guys losing at bats who are cold. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like when, let's say, Lourdes gets in one of his cold streaks, he's sitting on the bench rather than them plugging him into the eight hole. But right now, Lourdes is hitting. He's looking really good. And man, him in that eight hole, holy cow. Like,
No, of course. The lineup's great. Wild. Just need to fix that pitching, right?
Yeah, that's right. Our new relievers have looked good. You know, Adam Simber has had a few outings, and he's been everything as advertised. Trevor Rogers got his debut. I think it was in the Ryu game there. I think it was the last game.
I think so,
he looked good. Yeah, got three up, three down. They need more. Again, it would be confusing if they get Taylor Rogers out of Minnesota, but he's a guy who's a great pitcher. You know, he's a guy that the Twins don't really need right now as a basement team.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting things ahead, and we're going to, over the next week or two, I think we're going to start seeing things fall into place. It'll probably be after the All-Star game, but who knows? The All-Star break is going to allow these GMs lots of time to get on the phone and start seeing what's available.
Yep.
All right, did you have anything else Blue Jays to add to this?
No. Just want to remind everybody, with the Futures game on this Sunday, Austin Martin will be showcased at the Futures game. That's this Sunday, and you and I are going to be live streaming that game on YouTube. So
please join us.
Please join us.
I would love to chat prospects with everyone, and I know we always appreciate the walk-off community joining us on our live streams and being so interactive and just nerding out baseball-wise with us baseball nerds here on the walk-off, so it's perfect. And, of course, the Home Run Derby as well. We're Monday. Going to be live streaming, and then we're going to give away that jersey that we're giving away. Any Blue Jays jersey you want with any name on the back you want, and we'll get that done for you. So that transitions perfectly into Shohei Ohtani, who, of course, is going to be the star of the Home Run Derby. In his last 20 games, the guy has, listen to this, it's literally the most insane thing ever. He has 4 singles in his last 20 games.
Wow.
He has 3 doubles. He has 1 triple. He has 15 home runs in his last 20 games.
Wow. It's a hot streak.
What the hell? He's at 32 home runs on the season, which ties the Japanese record for most home runs in a season. Of course, he's going to just absolutely
crush that record.
Absolutely crush that record. I think he's the favorite to win the Derby.
Yeah, I mean, Fernando Tatis backed out as well.
Yeah.
So no Tatis Jr., no Vladdy.
It's wide open. It's going to be a fun Derby. It is going to be a very fun Derby.
It's going to be a really fun time. Yeah. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is the only person standing in Vlad's way of so many accomplishments this year.
Yeah.
Obviously the MVP, but Vlad now has 2/3 of the Triple Crown. He leads in RBIs across the MLB. He now leads in batting average as well across the MLB.
Yeah,
as he's sustained that 340, and everybody ahead of him has started to drop off just behind Ohtani in home runs.
He's at 28 now?
He's at 28. Ohtani's at 32. We'll see how the second half goes. But
yeah, I mean, he's going to need Ohtani to cool down, pardon me, a little bit, right? Like
I mean, 15 home runs in 20 games.
Two home runs on the back half, and just like, my God, at that point, Barry Bonds has started getting nervous, right? Like, like, I've never seen a swing like Ohtani's. It's incredible. He's coiled right up, and just like the extension he gets on that swing. Yeah. It seems inhuman.
It's really cool. It's just, that's all I got to say, is it's really cool to see this happen.
I know. We talk about Ohtani almost every podcast, but it's so hard not to. Like, the guy is just out of this world doing things that we have never seen a ball player do before.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll move on from there. Before we wrap everything up here, I did wish to bring up a very cool event that happened last night. Daniel Camarena, yeah, I think that's how you pronounce
close
it.
Close enough.
And if I'm butchering that, I'm so sorry. What's funny, too, is I listened to his name like 6 times before I came on the podcast. I'm like, I'm going to nail this name. I'm not going to screw it up like I do every other name, but here we are. Anyways, he is a relief pitcher with the Padres. He was just recently called up from AAA. His dad and family and everything is in the crowd. He goes up to bat with the bases loaded against Max Scherzer.
This is a 10-year minor leaguer.
10-year minor leaguer gets his final sniff of the big leagues here. Grand slam. As a relief pitcher. Amazing. Are you kidding me?
Amazing.
And what's, if you have not seen the video, you have to see it, because his dad just like literally breaks down. Like, his dad's like jumping around. And then he literally just crumbled to the seat. And he's just like got his head buried in his hands. He's just bawling his brains out, right? Like, it was just such a magical moment to see.
I have goosebumps just talking about that. That's so cool.
It is. And if you're a ball fan, it is worth just that, the goosebumps it gives you to watch. So yeah. Look it up. It's very, very cool. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Did you have anything to add here before we call this thing?
Not at all, sir. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Always appreciate all of you at the walk-off community here. We are going to be streaming once again the prospect game on Sunday. Tune in for that. Just join us on our YouTube channel, the Walk-Off Podcast. You can also join us for the Home Run Derby. We'll be live streaming that as well and giving away that jersey. Go to our Instagram page to enter the contest there. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. All the best. We'll see you Sunday.